This week's episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the good folks supporting us over on patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
Let's do the show, folks!
Come, come, come!
And who might you be?
It's the Star Wars Report!
Star Wars Report!
Woo! Star Wars Report! The place for Star Wars news, features, interviews, and more.
Then we can do something epic!
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate.
The Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of the Star Wars Report. This is episode number 339, and I am tonight's host, or this morning's host, or this afternoon's host, depending when you're listening. I'm Bruce Gibson here on the Star Wars Report, and I welcome you to our family. And with me here on today's show is Michael Morris. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, I thought you told me
what
this was, a Cloud City Casino reunion podcast, not Star Wars Report. So now I'm confused.
Well, it's the Star Wars Report 339 / Cloud City Casino reunion. And in order to do that, we have to have Nathan P. Butler.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here. Although, you know, kind of makes me wonder if I'm about to be booted back out because the original's back.
No, I'm actually not an original.
That's also true.
I came in episode like 13 or something, or 11.
Yeah.
Of Cloud City.
I should try to see about getting Eddie back. The problem is that he does. See, before, we always recorded everything in person. So I don't know how possible it would be to get any sort of recording with him, in Minnesota.
When's the last time you talked to Eddie? Do you still talk to this guy?
I talk to him occasionally on, usually we'll text.
I know he moved and all that.
Yeah, he moved up to Minnesota, and then, so occasionally we'll text each other, but it's very rare. I mean, he's got a kid now and everything, so he's got more
important things to do.
Right, right.
So, Nathan, you're having a kid too.
Yes. Michael, I've been meaning to talk to you about it.
Oh, no.
Due in September. Little baby Cade, yes, named after Cade Skywalker, which my wife agreed with, thought it was a great name, and but now every once in a while she'd go, "You realize you named him after a drug addict, right?" Like, it was death sticks. It's not a real drug, so it's okay.
That's true. So what's the middle name then?
Franklin, after my mom's dad, the grandfather that I was closest to. So that one's sort of the family lineage thing. And you got Cade. But as much as people are like, "Oh, so you're naming a kid after Star Wars," of course you are, right? If it had been a girl, my wife chose the name. And she was going to go with Leia Lucille. That's way more on the nose than Cade is. Because a lot of people don't know who Cade Skywalker is. He's not even part of the primary continuity at this point.
That is the perfect name for a Star Wars fan's baby. And I'll tell you why. Because as he grows up, like you said, most people will not associate Cade mm-hmm. with Star Wars. But those who do, you know, are huge Star Wars fans.
Exactly.
And they won't have, they won't make fun of the name. They'll be like, "That is so cool."
They'll be like, "That's cool." Yeah, exactly. The only thing we've run into as sort of a question is, you know, Are people going to call him Cady when he's younger? C-A-D-E-Y. Because, you know, I think about Anakin, and I'm like, you know what? I bet part of the reason he went to the dark side was that everybody called him Annie.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that's a little bit too, like, you got to make too many connections there for a young child, I feel like, but I don't know. But I don't know. I think it's weird you guys naming your kids after Star Wars characters anyway. If I ever have a kid, I'm going to name him or her after members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know who the Wu-Tang Clan is?
Well, I don't know. Like, what would you name?
I don't know. Like, RZA?
Wu-Tang?
ODB? Ghostface Killah?
Or just have triplets and call them Wu-Tang and Clan.
Nah, that seems weird, because by the time you get to Clan, you know that, especially in this environment,
this day and age,
yeah,
he would already have his political future.
He'd be like, no, it's spelled with a C, and they're like, I don't care. Whatever, racist. You're like, oh. Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to have to apologize about this, Michael, because I have to bring up Star Trek, but this is related to this conversation. So when we were having kids, Jonathan Archer from Star Trek Enterprise is the captain, and I wanted to call, if we had a son, which we didn't, but I said one of the ideas was Jonathan Archer Gibson, and my wife actually liked that, and she's like, I would, yeah, I would go for that. Let's do it. So what happened then is we had girls, so we never used it. So anyway, my wife is a physical therapist, and she was treating this lady, and she was talking about her grandson, and she said his name is Archer. My wife says, oh, we talked about naming our kid Jonathan Archer if we had a boy, and, you know, I think it's interesting that your grandson's name has Archer in it. She goes, oh, yeah, he goes by his middle name. His first name is Jonathan. And she said, and my wife's like, oh, that's really weird, because, you know, we were going to name Jonathan Archer of Star Trek. She goes, well, that's interesting. My son-in-law is a big Star Trek fan. So this grandmother had no idea where the name came from, and now she knows.
Now she knows.
It's almost like, I wonder if her son-in-law and her daughter are like, don't tell mom, you know? She will freak out if we know after Star Trek. And my wife always lets the cat out of the bag, always. Even today, I see all these political ads going on. I'm like, you know what? I could do much better in a political ad. These guys come off really weird and stiff and whatever. I was like, maybe I should run for office. And she's like, no, you can't. She goes, I'd be a terrible politician's wife. She goes, because she says she has a big mouth. And she would talk too much.
But I love my husband. He's great with money. The money that he embezzled for that account in the Caymans is totally taken care of.
That's exactly what she would
that
do.
That kind of thing, yeah. Yeah, right. Probably not the best option.
Yes.
Well, maybe she could run. She could run.
She could run.
And then you could be the one who kind of keeps the secrets, because everything that she would then say, she could just say was part of the campaign. It was part of the strategy, as opposed to, you know, being the spouse who turns around and says, honey, what did you just do?
Well, exactly. And speaking of big mouths, someone, if anyone, at Lucasfilm has a big mouth, because they went to the Hollywood Reporter and said that Billy Dee Williams is going to be in episode 9. And I want to get into that so here's the thing. A few episodes ago, we talked about Han Solo as a character. And one of the plans we wanted to do is talk about Lando Calrissian as a character. And that's because, you know, the Solo movie came out and we saw those characters in that movie. And of
also,
course,
I kept just bugging you and bugging you, and you're like, fine, we'll do it.
So that's the best part, because Michael's just like, you know, so when are we going to do the episode about Lando? And I keep putting it off because other things were coming up. So now we want to do that. So we want to kind of focus on the character of Lando Calrissian. And this is such a great time because with the Hollywood Reporter saying that, you know, their reliable sources say that Billy Dee Williams will be in episode 9. I kind of want to explore what you guys think about Billy Dee, if this is true, reprising the role of Lando in episode 9, if you think that would work, and where do you think his character would be, at least in during that time? I mean, I don't know if he'd be a politician or a gambler or what's he doing, you know?
You know, I mean, I guess the best place to look would be to the current expanded universe materials and kind of go from there.
Okay. Which we don't really have much of. At this point.
I mean, I can only think of two things post Return of the Jedi. Technically three things, but I don't know that it really counts with Shattered Empire, because that's like immediately following.
Right.
But, you know, you have Battlefront, which was, let's see, I'm trying to think. Let's see, it took place, Operation Cinder, all of that. How long after did that take place?
That was a matter of months after Endor, because it was all leading up to the Battle of Jakku at that point.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. 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 Because I remember, because you actually had the Battle of Jakku on there, correct?
Right at the end of the game.
Yeah. So, you know, so basically around a year later, and then let's see. Because I'm trying to think with Battle, or not Battlefront, but Aftermath, or I guess it was actually the second book that he makes his entrance, because there's Lobot in Aftermath.
Right. And that's the one that ties into Uprising, because it shows him on Cloud City.
Right.
It ties into his character being part of the whole trying to free the Anoa'at system and everything.
And so, I think, yeah, what was he doing during this time?
He's basically, at least for the year after Return of the Jedi, he's still a general and he's still working with what's then the New Republic, right? So, so we see him interacting with characters like Shriv. We see him on missions with Shriv, which is some of the best banter in Star Wars in a long time.
Yeah.
And then you've got a short gap, and most recently he appears in the novel Last Shot. And Last Shot is basically like multiple eras, where one of the eras is sort of the young, you know, Donald Glover Lando with L3, which is all screwed up chronologically, but, you know, just focusing on story side there. It's those two in a segment. Then there's other segments with other characters, and then the main thrust of it in the present is Lando and Han. And that is set 3 years after Return of the Jedi, because at that point, Ben Solo, who's born like right as the Battle of Jakku is wrapping up, he's born, and then this is 2 years later, while Han's kind of trying to deal with being a father of a two-year-old and sort of figuring out
right, he thinks he's going to suck as a father and all that.
And what we find out at that point is that there was a tech company that basically Lando bought out that made droids, and now he's making droids for this new Calrissian enterprise that he's doing. And he seems like he's kind of going straight. He's not really gambling. He's not really doing much in the way of smuggling or anything like that that supposedly he was so great at. He's left the military. And by the time we wrap up that book, it really looks like more than likely his love interest has been pinned down for who he would be with going forward. Like, they play it up so much that if those two separate, it'll be a huge shock. Or if they get to the point where it's, you know, hey, Lando's in episode 9 and she's not there and we're not going to say she died, we're not going to answer where she went, that's probably going to be an issue for people who read the books. But it looked like he was kind of ready to settle down and be sort of the big executive businessman
right.
at this point, that he's not really, you know, the kind of person that he doesn't seem like they're sending the character in a direction where he would want to jump back into the fight.
Right, especially anything. To be in episode 9. Like, and of course, this is 30 plus years later, but, you know, if he's just some business executive, and of course, we don't know the story, so it's hard to speculate, but I guess it's just, I don't even know if I want to have him in this movie, because I feel like they just shoehorn him in, like, it'd just be a cameo, and it might, I don't know, I mean, we don't know the story, I don't even know if they're going to try to fill the role that Leia was supposed to have in this movie before Carrie Fisher died, and he tries to fill that, or
I don't feel like it's a shoehorn. Personally, and I mean, granted, obviously, everybody's like, well, of course, you won't say that because you're the guy who loves Lando so much.
You all have right. a cape.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. But the reason I say that, though, is just because of where we were left with The Last Jedi, which is like, oh, hey, the Resistance, it's like 11 people. Like, clearly, they're going to need some more people. So I think that if you go, all right, who can they turn to? Really, I can't think of anybody else that would make sense, especially to people who have not seen any expanded materials that, you know, are just basing it off of the films. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anybody else that you could really turn to other than Lando.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
It would make sense because assuming they were to turn to him, even if he doesn't jump back into the fight, he's had the experience as part of the Rebel Alliance. His wife, assuming that they wind up being married, assuming the character that he ends up with in Last Shot winds up being the one that he is still with for some time, she was also someone involved with the Rebel Alliance, a Twi'lek freedom fighter named Kasha. So even if they weren't jumping into the fight itself, I mean, they could be providing arms, they could be providing droid fighters in it. You could wind up seeing sort of a reversal of Clone Wars where all of a sudden it's the droids fighting on the side of the good guys because that's all they have access to, because just the sheer number of people that they need, given their small size now, isn't really something that's doable at that point. Although we're told that there's going to be a little bit of a time gap probably between Last Jedi and in episode 9, instead of there being some overlap, so maybe they'll have enough time to recruit. But I just, I keep picturing, and you know, I'm sort of the sarcastic guy, and I like the
what? You sarcastic?
Yes, just a little. But I keep thinking about how that conversation must have gone. You know, like Billy Dee talking to JJ, was like, hey JJ, I'd like to be in episode 9. I hear that Lando, you know, he's a pansexual now. And, I've always had a thing for cookware. No, Billy D. You see, it's actually, that just means you don't discriminate based on sex and gender and race and stuff like that. That means that you could be with anyone. In fact, in the books, you're with an alien woman. She's not even human. Oh, so I could be with anybody I please? This deal's getting better all the time. Oh my God. Of a sudden, he's in episode 9, right? It's just weird, right? I mean, just what I want to know, it's not so much the what role will he play, but why wasn't he playing a role before now? Because he was back in Star Wars. He was voicing Lando in Rebels.
Yep, he seemed like he was one of the people
who wanted to get back into it.
Yeah.
And yet, they didn't bring him in. And, you know, again, I don't know about that Donald Glover guy, but I loved him in Lethal Weapon. No, wrong guy. But just, well, you know,
physically, he's got some issues. Because, I mean, I've seen him at Dragon Con. It was like 2 years ago. And, I mean, they had to help him on the stage. He's walking with a cane. So it's not like physically he could do a lot in the movies like they would have done.
Yeah, but it's not like
the
physically
characters.
They need him to do a lot, right. though.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
Especially now that you've got young Lando to do the action. If you got young Lando doing the action, you give the character a gravitas of an action hero, even if he's not actually doing the action scenes. I mean, it's kind of like where you get, you know, the old action stars who are now old and gray to be the mentors to characters in movies. And you're like, wait a second, he's not actually doing any action, but I believe he could because I've seen all these other movies where it's a completely different character, but the right. same actor. You know, he'd be carrying something into the film. And it'd be interesting to see if they could tie it back together because people keep complaining about how, well, you know, in Last Jedi, the Canto Bight stuff, a lot of that stuff was just extraneous. You could have cut it. Or the far side of the controversy being, oh, it's just that far left anti-capitalist, anti-this, that message that Rose is spewing kind of stuff. A lot of people very down on the Canto Bight parts of Last Jedi. But what if it turns out that Canto Bight, this big gambling and ritzy establishment type of location, somehow is tied into Lando.
Hey, what are you doing wrecking my casino?
Yeah, he was there at the time. He has an investment or whatever, and that brings his attention to what's going on. Maybe he even found out somehow who they were on the way out, or he I don't know, you know, maybe he keeps up with the news and he's heard of Finn or something, and he actually wanted to help them as they were escaping, but wasn't able to get to them in time, so they had to escape themselves. And that essentially gives them sort of a mirror back into the previous film, where it's kind of one of those, you know, Tales from the Isley Cantina kind of things of, you know, well, or I guess more like the Canto.
But I don't know if I like that, because if Lando owned the casino or something, I mean, it was portrayed that the patrons of them are, you know, funding not just, you know, the, not the rebellion, but the resistance, and then also the First Order.
Well, yeah, the idea that a lot of them are arms dealers, and at least the one whose ship DJ stole supplies to both sides. But you get the sense from the Canto Bight.
Oh, maybe that was Lando's ship that he stole.
It wasn't. Unless they retcon it and change it like they did with Hans Dyson, where they came from, because that was new continuity that they changed within a year.
Where was it? But, see, I noticed that too, but we've never talked about that, because I just thought I was crazy, and I'm like, let me quietly try to find it myself.
I think it was the Last Jedi visual guide, or maybe it was for The Force Awakens, where they said that the dice were, he kept them after, because it was from the game where he won the Falcon, and now they're like, no, they were lucky and he kept them way before that.
Right.
We didn't actually
right.
see the dice used in the Sabacc game. But just this, the idea of, you know, he could have been one of the good guys. He could have been someone who was maybe part of his vendetta against the First Order, and why he would join the rebels in the fight, or the resistance in the fight, is that he was duped. You know, he didn't realize that his company was being used to supply both sides. He thought it was just the New Republic or the Resistance, and now that he realizes it was both, now he wants payback, or he's pushed out of his own company and wants payback. There's all kinds of corporate-based angles you could use for it. The point being, just give us some way to link him together. Don't make it just be he shows out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, give us a sense of, you've had two films before this in this trilogy, and Lando has been completely conspicuously absent. Where has he been? And what is it that somehow would explain him being out of the fight then and back into the fight now? And if he's not really able to be as more of an action lead character, if he winds up being kind of more of the Leia character in the sense of not having a lot of action sequences, but having the gravitas there and sort of the passing of the torch between generations, then have it be something where it makes sense that he wouldn't, you know, he'd be joining to do something other than the physical action. Like, he wouldn't be joining the fight to actually be on the front lines or to command again. Maybe he's joining the fight to be a supplier. Maybe he's joining the fight because they need the technical expertise or something from somebody other than the guy that just happened to mop the place.
Right. He's helping to fund something. Them. He's backing them up financially and helping them
just,
out.
Just give us a reason and it'll be good. I mean, no matter what they do with the character, there are going to be people who love it and people who absolutely hate it. And they're going to say that it ruined their childhood, you know?
Only if there's no puffer pigs would it ruin my
life. Oh my god. Oh, no.
I love those puffer pigs.
Oh man. Imagine like for some reason it just popped into my head. Wasn't it, what was that movie called? Dumbo Drop?
The Great Dumbo Drop or something?
The First Order, so they fly over and they don't have enough weapons, so they just drop a whole bunch of scared puffer pigs and they bounce around.
Love that. Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome.
Operation Dumbo Drop. Maybe
Operation
is the name of the movie.
Puffer Drop. There you go. And then they would have to do like of course you have all the spin-off toys and everything, right? So then you would have like one of those big ball things for kids where all the balls are shaped like puffer pigs.
Funny enough, Operation Dumbo Drop actually starred Danny Glover, who was brought up earlier.
I loved him as Lando.
That's funny.
So, Michael, let's dive in a little more into the Lando character we know, because we don't know what's going to happen in episode 9 with him. But, I mean, Michael, he's your favorite Star Wars character, and you're a huge Star Wars fan, so I would almost be willing to say that maybe he's your favorite character of all time out of anything, maybe, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I kind of wonder, like, I don't know. I have never met anyone whose favorite character was Lando. You know what I mean? Like,
well, Billy Dee Williams.
Well, okay, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, who, I don't want to say obsessed, but is obsessed with Lando as much as me, you know?
So what is it about Lando that you like?
Okay, so a lot, and most of it is because my favorite Star Wars film is Return of the Jedi, and if you really pay attention to Lando in that film, you kind of see like what an awesome character he is. I think a lot of people, it's weird. I feel like for whatever reason, people don't think back to Return of the Jedi much. Like a lot of times, I mean, you can even look at like back in the Legends books and stuff when people would portray Luke Skywalker. It's almost like they completely ignore the fact that he has all of this, character development in, you know, by Return of the Jedi, and they just sort of write him like he was back in, A New Hope, and even maybe a little bit into Empire Strikes Back, right? Well, same thing with Lando, where they're like, oh, you know, he's just kind of, you can't really trust him or whatever and stuff, you know? And I'm like, no, like, we find out that he's much more than that. One of my favorite action figures to play with as a kid was the Kenner Skiff Lando, which I think it was sort of like a tactile thing that really connected me to that character. And, you know, I love that figure so much. And I think that's where a lot of the love came from.
I'm surprised you don't cosplay as him.
Well, I mean, there's, I don't know. That's a whole other conversation for a different time. But
oh, that's a different episode.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to is the, you know, me being like, is this something that I should be doing? But anyhow, the thing with Lando is, you know, I love that, you know, they never give a time frame, but they talk like, 3PO is talking to R2 when they're going into Jabba's palace, and that, you know, Lando had basically infiltrated that place and been in there for quite some time. And I think that's really cool that he's able to do that. You know, he's able to go in there, and he's the only one who never blows their cover. You know, like, R2 and 3PO don't necessarily blow their cover because, 3PO, he's not even aware, right? And R2, you know, he speaks in beeps, so it's a lot easier for him. Chewie and Leia almost blow their cover immediately, so I think that's, you know, and then Luke sort of just goes in blasting and, you know, ends up having to fight the Rancor. So I love that he's the one who actually goes in and does his job the way he's supposed to.
Everyone else messed up, didn't do their job right. Lando's the only one who's got it together to the point that at the end of the movie, he's the one who blows up the Death Star.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. And so many people, and I kind of want to choke them out when people always want to give credit to Wedge for blowing up the second Death Star. And I'm like, he didn't do that. He shot the shield, but Lando's the one who did it. I mean, realistically, Wedge did not even need to make that trench run. Yeah, he was the wingman, but what did he do? You know what I mean? Like, it was really Lando and Nine Nub doing all the work. So, I'm like, yeah. The hero of the rebellion is Lando. I'm sorry, Wedge fans, but he shot a shield, you know? Like, what? It would have taken one extra shot for Lando to have done that? Like,
yeah,
no.
He could have done it easily. He's the one who set it up so Wedge could do it.
Yeah, and so Wedge takes out the shield, Lando takes out the actual generator, and blows up the second Death Star.
Well, he's not taking out the shield, he's taking out the power regulator on the North Tower, right? So he's destabilizing the main core so that
the rebellion,
when shot, it'll blow up.
So they can make the shot.
You know,
yeah, but it's a shield,
effort.
Though.
It's a shield effort.
But it's right there. I mean, it's like what 100 feet from the actual generator.
Can't we use that same logic that if Lando could have just blasted that in the process of blasting the core, couldn't Wedge have just turned a little bit to the left and fired some proton torpedoes and been done with it too? I mean, in essence, they're both.
But Wedge is the wingman. And the difference is that one of them actually blew the core, the other one didn't.
Is he the wingman, though? Because it is Gold Leader and Red Leader, is it not? I mean, they're both leaders of different squadrons, so in theory they should have wingmen that are not from, you know, that are from their own, you know, designation.
What? Was he Red Leader at that point? I didn't think he was.
I honestly don't remember.
Don't make steam what you can't back up, Nate. But look, point being, the person who blew the core that blew the Death Star was Lando.
That's how I always think of it too. Yeah. It's like, and even if it was Wedge that did the shot, I mean, it's like, you know, if it was football, American football, it would be Lando tackles he sacks the quarterback, ball is fumbled to the point that his teammate could just grab it and make the touchdown. That touchdown wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Lando sacking the quarterback.
Right, right. From a sports perspective, I mean, it's the assist, right? You know,
right, exactly.
The other one's the actually getting, but they're both getting credit for it. But what I think the point that Michael's getting to, and yes, it was Red Leader, I checked.
Okay, cool.
But I think the point that Michael's getting to is a fair one, though, which is this idea that, you know, Lando just never got his due. I mean, Lando got a lot he got a lot more things to do in the Legends continuity than in canon after Return of the Jedi. Eventually marrying Tendra and then the Tenandro arms and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he got a chance to kind of have a life, but he was never one of the big three, so it was always kind of a secondary thing. And so much of the stories were either focused on the big three or like Rogue Squadron, these specialized groups that Wedge winds up getting a whole lot of play and a whole lot of credit. And Lando, I think Lando gets the credit, but Lando doesn't stay with the military. He's not building on that reputation of having, you know, having taken part of that. He winds up being someone who goes off in his own direction, and they wind up, like you said, kind of not really being able to figure out what to do with the character. And that's my concern right now. I mean, you look at the way that canon has tended to deal with these characters, and the characters haven't wound up being what was expected. And a lot of people who are big Legends fans, I am one, but I didn't have as big an issue. But they look at these characters and say, this is not the character I know. I expected them to develop in a similar way to the way that the old books did. So you got Han Solo as the father who feels like he failed his son, who has been separated from Leia for a while and so forth. You've got Luke as the man who fails or sees himself as failing to train Ben or to see the darkness in time. And now doesn't want to unleash that kind of thing on the galaxy again, so he tries to get rid of the Jedi Order. Very different perspectives. And Lando is one of these characters that already, you know, he had kind of a sedate storyline in what existed before. It makes me wonder, though, how people will react if he's treated differently. If he winds up being not the character that we expected. I saw a picture today on Facebook that had me laughing and then kind of doing a facepalm. It was three dressing rooms. One said Luke, one said Han, one said Luke, the other said Lando. And there was blood coming out from under the door of the Han and Luke ones. And there was a Grim Reaper with Mickey Mouse's face on it, knocking on Lando's door.
Oh. Yeah. That is my big worry. I'm like, don't kill him. I mean, like,
they've killed enough of these characters.
Have they got to the point, though, where they shouldn't keep bringing characters back because every time they do, all it does is spark controversy? Should they just stick with basically saying, okay, Han's out of the picture, Luke's out of the picture, we're going to have to find a way to have Leia out of the picture, the big three are already out of the picture, let's not reopen the old wounds by bringing in existing characters.
But the thing is, the controversy is that they kill those characters. That's the controversy.
Well, the controversy, they kill them, but also the way they handle them. I mean, the controversy right. with Han and Luke wasn't just the deaths.
But I think that's secondary. I think that a lot of that would not have been there if they hadn't have killed them.
So if Lando winds up being so smooth-talking at the end of Episode 9 that he ends up with, like, Rey or Rose, and Finn's like, meh.
Yes, give me that movie. Give me that movie.
Because he's not dead?
You want to subvert my expectations? Put Lando and Rose together.
No, that would have been the Rian Johnson version of the film. It would have gone a very unpredictable way. This is J.J. Abrams, so...
I'm picking Rose.
Yes, give me that film.
She's a delicate little flower. No, Lando. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, this is kind of messed up.
Though I do wonder, like, are we going to see anything now, thanks to Solo, that's going to give us a new... sort of a weaving in of that characterization with the old characterization for a new Lando? Because we didn't really know prior to Solo that Lando's basically a cheat.
Well, right? I was like, going to bring that up. Do you like the way his character is treated in Solo? Because now they've set him up as a cheat.
Yeah, like he's not this great gambler. He's a great smuggler. He's already retired at a young age, and we've never actually seen him smuggle anything but puffer pigs. That's not going to be helpful. And he's this great gambler. Okay, but we just found out that when the stakes are high, he cheats. So, is he really holding up to the reputation? But if they can find a way to link it, you know, if they could find a way to say, okay, well, you know what? We need to take down the First Order, and we've been playing by their rules. It's time we cheat. Or, you know, they do something like that, where it actually links it together.
Well, so here's one thing. In preparation for this, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch the Idiot's Array episode of Rebels Season 1. And...
ooh, that's the Puffer Pig one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think you should go back and watch it, though, because you would... there's surprisingly a lot of connections to Solo. You know, because of course they start out, they're playing Sabacc. And there also the thing is that Zeb ends up gambling away Chopper, and Chopper's like, no. And I'm like, he probably heard about his relationship with L3. So he's like, oh, he's like, I don't want to go with that boy. And then the thing is, too, is after it's over, Zeb is accusing him of cheating. Like, he's telling Hera, he's like, oh, he's like, no, he's like, I know Lando had to have cheated. There's no way. And I'm like, well, yeah, he had to have cheated, you know? Like, of course he did. I saw
right,
Solo.
We know he cheats.
Yeah.
We know how he cheats.
But the thing is, too, I think a lot of that is, because, you know, Nate, you said, like, oh, he's not, you know, it turns out he's not a great gambler. I think he is, but I think that, you know, because I don't think he was like, he had a whole bunch. I mean, he didn't have a whole bunch of cards up his sleeve. He had the one, right? So I think that what it is he's going to sit there and he's going to play fair up until the point that he knows he can't win. And then that's when he'll cheat. So I think he's a really good gambler, but I think that the fact that he will cheat puts it over the edge. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the impression I got in Solo, that he really is a good gambler. He was playing good hands. It was just... he had that card there as plan B, because if mm-hmm. he needs it at that last moment, if he needs to play it, he's got it there.
So he's got that pathological need to win kind of a thing.
Right.
I mean, I can see that. Now we are missing an entire, like, Michael, you mentioned L3 and his past with L3, you know, and what other characters would say. Well, given some of the intimations L3 kind of hints at to Kira in Solo, maybe we're missing an entire different angle. Maybe he's going to show up in episode 9 as the love interest for BB-8.
I'd be like, move, ball.
I like the way you roll.
I mean, anything's possible, right?
Baby got ball.
And then, of course, you know, the other connection that I think is pretty cool with between Solo and Rebels is, of course, he ends up riding in the Ghost, which is a VCX-100, which is the ship that Han brings up, you know, as owning when they have their card game. So it's, because we know that, like, they said John Kasdan is a fan and he pays attention to a lot of that stuff. And then, of course, we saw the Maul from Rebels. It almost seems like he's like, oh, let me actually watch this in preparation. It seems like there were some things that kind of came from that. Like I said, I noticed a lot of parallels in that I thought was really interesting.
That's true. I didn't even thought about the fact that, yeah, he's mentioned the VCX, and that would explain a fascination when he eventually, years later, winds up aboard the Ghost.
Yeah.
See, huh. It's all connected.
I like it. I like it. More connected than people. And that's probably the most connected book, or movie, though, as far as other material, even linking back into Legends, though, that we have seen so far. So I'm not at all surprised that there would be some research going on as far as the character in Rebels. Which is good. I mean, they should be doing that. That's how homework should be being done. It's, what I'm concerned about is you know, I mean, I guess there's enough time now. Like, they're giving us new Lando stuff, but the new Lando stuff is tending to be stuff like the Lando Double or Nothing comic that's when he's younger. I just don't want to see them do something that's going to wind up creating one of those contradictions where they give us some more stories like Last Shot, say shortly after Last Shot or something, and all of a sudden, here we have Lando being given some backstory that the filmmakers don't want to use. There's always kind of that question of when they're making these films for the sequel trilogy, they're moving into an unknown future so they can kind of go whatever the direction they want. And they've tried to leave the gap in between the original trilogy and sequel trilogy mostly empty so they can have whatever backstories for these returning characters in the galaxy that they want. But Lando's been touched on a couple of times. Like if they do something, if they bring in Lando and there's no mention of Kasha, there's no mention of him having Calrissian Enterprises at one point, there's nothing that ties it back to what they've done with, say, Last Shot, that's going to be kind of a letdown. And we've got enough time between now and episode 9, they could put out more stuff that has Lando in it. Particularly comics that are coming out much more quickly than the novels.
Well, in Star Wars Resistance, his character could be in that.
He could show up in there.
Yeah.
But at least if he showed up in there, you know, it'd be it'd be in the right time period shortly before, presumably, you know, Force Awakens or however they decide to do it. I don't know. I want to see it be something consistent. It's one of those things where they didn't have to worry about it as much because Luke was off limits and Leia and Han had already been in Force Awakens. So they were already able to sort of figure out where they must have been and what they must have been doing and start to seed that within the stories. But Lando's been the big unknown, and they have used him a little bit, but not at all in the film. So will they manage to tie it together? But if they're,
I think
if you've got people on staff that care about that kind of thing, then we shouldn't be worried.
You know, I'm not that worried about it because I think it's open enough that essentially they write that script and then there's enough of a time period that if there's anything that's inconsistent with what we know from the Expanded Universe materials, they just can now write another book or something and then just connect those dots.
Right, just retcon it away, basically.
Right.
Which is easy enough. I mean, especially since Lando... I mean, the closest books that we've had several books that are much closer than Last Shot was to The Force Awakens, and Lando doesn't appear in any of them.
Right.
You know, so... Lando's kind of the blank slate, at least, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. But we'll see. Watch it turn out that like, nope, sorry, it was all a hoax. And based on the process of recording Cloud City Casino that Michael and I go through, if they're going to announce that it was all a hoax, that he was coming back and he's actually not coming back for episode 9, it would happen immediately after we finish recording this episode. Within about an hour, there would be news dropping, because that usually is what happens with us every time we record an episode, and it's like, there's not a lot of game news to talk about this week. We go, hit stop, and there it is. So so if it turns out that it was a rumor, it's Michael's fault, right?
Well, yeah. I
think that's how it works.
Let's put this way. I will be Lando, and I'll gamble that he's totally coming back.
Okay. All right. What are you going to bet with? You going to bet your ship that he's coming back?
I'll bet my droid.
The love of your life.
Dude, just do like Han. Just bet your imaginary ship that you weren't planning to get right.
I didn't have a ship anyway. Right, right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I bet you my Lamborghini. Yep.
Yep. Well, let's go on to the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
So in the news, we have a tweet from Mark Hamill. He shaved his beard in this picture. He was tweeting this image of a cane that he got of Joker. But in this image, he is clean shaven. At least, you know, on his face. He still has hair on his head.
I'm just talking about from the neck up. Because as soon as you said clean shaven, at least on his face, my mind went to the wrong places. It was like a Star Wars report after dark or something. Just, for the love of
That's
God.
Only for the patrons. Don't worry. That'll be on Patreon.
But yeah, I did see that. He's clean shaven and he... You know, I mean, does the guy age? Like, the guy ages, but it's like he got to a point where he was aging and he just kind of stopped. Like, he's reached the Dick Clark era of his life. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He basically looks like he looks pretty much the same since the 90s at this point.
He could be in another Wing Commander and we'd never know.
Right. Which, hey, I say put that movie out. I mean, make it a little better, but you know.
Got Freddie Prinze Jr. in Star Wars. He might jump into it again.
I would be okay with that. I would love to see Freddie Prinze Jr. in a Wing Commander film with Mark Hamill. But that's just because I actually like, you know, the Star Citizen game. If people haven't checked that out, I say definitely check that out, because that's the closest that you're going to get right now to just an open world Star Wars inspired game that's just awesome.
Are you saying that EA is not going to do something great?
Breaking news.
No, that definitely brings up the question, though, because I mean it's led to a lot of people kind of freaking out that they assume that because he's clean shaven right now, that means that he won't show up as like a force ghost or something in episode 9. That means he's not coming back, and see you around, kid, was a ruse, and they're not going to pick up on that, just like
Haven't
Ryan
they already
Johnson.
Started filming episode 9? Didn't I hear that? Or
they just started, or they're about to start. Like, yeah. It's right about now, which is why, honestly, Nate, I'm kind of on that
But
on
if he
that
doesn't
bandwagon.
Have a giant role, I mean, they could film it, you know, months from now, once he grows stuff back. Maybe the guy just had an itchy face.
Well, I know he didn't like the beard.
But why
when he did The Force Awakens, he couldn't wait to shave when they finished filming. But he's
why
kept
would
it
he?
Since he grew
why
it
would
back.
He keep the beard for what over a year, and then right before filming, shave the beard? And the thing is that, like, I feel like it was done purposefully because, I mean, of course, he's like through the whole thing, he's like, "Well, I didn't, you know, that was Jake Skywalker. I didn't really like, you know what I mean?" And he's like, "Oh, so they've announced filming, huh? I'm going to shave the beard, let the fans know I'm not going to be in this." You know, like, I feel like it's his own little rebellion,
like,
you know?
Like, he would have been but if that was really what he was getting at, wouldn't he have been holding, like, one of the fanboy tears cups instead of the cane in the picture?
No, because I think it kind of goes the other way around. I think the fanboy tears thing is more against the people who have been outspoken against The Last Jedi, whereas he was one of the people who's been outspoken against The Last Jedi. So, you know, that doesn't really work as much. But I think that, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely possibilities. I mean, it may have been that JJ's like, you know what? I think we kind of shave the beard, you know, make him look a little closer to the Return of the Jedi Luke or something like that. That's definitely a possibility, but I don't,
there's two possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
One is that he is in the film and JJ says, "We want you clean shaven." Because you're right, he's had a beard for the last couple of years. Why shave it now before filming? So JJ says, "Look, I want you're going to be in the film, but I want your character clean shaven. We're shaving you." Or two, JJ comes to him and says, "We're not using you in the film." And Mark Hamill's like, "Thank goodness, I can shave this beard now."
Right.
It's one of those two.
Well, it's funny one, it just that threw me a little bit. You're like, you know, we want you clean shaven, we're going to shave you. I that's It's an interesting process. I figured he could shave himself. but the idea, though...
They hold him down.
We do have precedent, right? Because old Vader, Sebastian Shaw, burned up and more machine than man, Anakin was able to die and come back as a Force ghost, not just as old Sebastian Shaw now, but as young Hayden Christensen. So there's some means by which you can sort of have an idealized version of yourself when you're a Force ghost, thanks to the Blu-ray cuts and such. Or I guess maybe even in that case, that was 2004, wasn't it? But going back to what Lucas tinkered with in sort of the even more special editions. So maybe he's a Force ghost who's clean shaven. You don't have to look like you did when you died. Maybe he realized he didn't want to be a Force ghost hobo.
And you know what? That's a way that... So playing off of that, now this is something I would actually like to see, and it's something I've thought of and said before, and now someone else had mentioned it as well, and I was like, you know what, I hope they do that, and this could be a way that they do that as well, that I had said beforehand that what I would like to see, because there's lots of people who say, I want to see Hayden Christensen come back, I want to see him come back as Anakin.
Yes, yes.
I've always kind of had a bit of a problem with that because I am not a fan of the special editions, especially that cut, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure if George would have just called Hayden, you could have gotten his whole body and not just his head superimposed on Sebastian
Shaw. Creepy stalker looking look? Yeah.
It's just, well, but it's like, you can tell it's just disconnected. It just does not look right. You know, it looks bad, right? And I'm like, I bet you Hayden would have let, you know, he would have showed up, you could have filmed the whole body and just superimposed the entire body over so it didn't look as weird. But that's a hang-up. It has nothing to do with the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, for the people who, you know, I think if you bring Hayden back, then you pretty much, you're choosing the special editions over the, you know, the theatrical cuts, right? And because of stuff that's been said from Lucasfilm and everything, they don't really want to do that. They don't really want to divide the fandom and saying, this is the cuts, this is the, you know, this is the Bible, whatever. It's basically, they leave it a little open so that you can prefer the one you prefer. The way that I say to bring back Anakin is you start him out as Shaw, and you just sort of fade him into Christensen for the actual acting part, right? And someone else brought up that with you know, bringing back Obi-Wan, because they talked about Ewan McGregor being in The Last Jedi, that essentially you do the same thing. You know, you have Alec Guinness, and then you sort of then fade him into Ewan McGregor, so that it's sort of that connection, and you kind of get to where, okay, so here's what happens. If they were going to do those two things, then they could essentially, to sort of young down Luke, the same thing, where you sort of see him like he looked in The Last Jedi, and then you sort of blend him into the now clean-shaven one, and you do that with all three characters, and now you've established a way in which old versions are fine, and this is why they look the way they do now, and it just sort of plays across the board.
So we may see, using CGI, whatever, Mark Hamill clean-shaven, and they make him look young, like he's the Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi.
No, they could do that.
No, but they could do that.
They definitely could do that. I don't know that
they
should.
I'm starting to think that they are.
I'm just wanting Michael to use this train of thought and try to figure out how to fix the rocks in front of R2-D2 from the Blu-rays now.
So what you do is, next time you see R2 and he's over in the corner, like, you know, he has been for this whole sequel trilogy because he never gets used, and then the rocks aren't there, and then they just sort of fade into view.
No.
Look, man, I'm not a magician, okay?
Unless you add a Trek teleportation sound or transporter sound, and then fandom erupts again.
All right, I can't fix everything, all right? My biggest thing for this is, I'm like, look, there's two things I really want from episode 9, sort of three, all right? Number one, most important, do not kill Lando. That's number one for me. I am tired of seeing my heroes killed. You don't have to have it. I feel like if it becomes continual, it's almost like lazy storytelling, right? Because there was, I had this argument with somebody where they're like, oh no, they're like, you know, that's what you do. You know, they should have a good death if they're going to be here. I'm like, no, that's not always the answer. It's not like, oh, okay, now we kill. Like, that's just lazy, all right? And because we've already lost two and technically three because of the passing of Carrie Fisher, don't kill everybody. Yeah. It's not, you know, like...
I don't want Leia to be killed.
I mean, this is the... Right.
She's off somewhere else or whatever.
I feel like this is the post-Game of Thrones entertainment world where people think that the only way to have, you know, big risky storytelling is to just kill main characters. And I feel like that's not the case. I feel like it's there's better ways to tell stories than just that. You know, there's you have more tools in the toolbox than just that big hammer. So use some of them. But moving on to the second thing that I really want, and honestly, my tirade just made me kind of forget it. So see, I said, don't kill Lando. Okay, second one is use R2-D2. The one thing I will say about The Last Jedi, even though I've been on record as not being the biggest fan of The Last Jedi, I felt like C-3PO got a lot more play in it, and I'm not going to complain as much about how much we got of C-3PO in that one. R2 has still been used just to such a minimal degree that it's shameful.
Well, because Kenny Baker isn't around to portray him anymore.
But they have the other guy, and it's not like it's his, you know, his voice isn't there or anything. Like, you can use R2-D2. Do it, you know? Like, I like BB-8, but honestly, I'm kind of, at this point, I'm like, he's fine, but, you know, R2 is the one that I've always known and loved, and there's no reason you can't use him. In fact, I think probably if you would have split some of BB-8 stuff between him and R2, I think it might have actually played a lot better for The Last Jedi.
I would like to see more scenes with C-3PO and R2-D2 together.
Yeah,
I mean they're the Laurel and Hardy of Star Wars.
Yeah, that would be great too. But like I said, I'm not asking for too many specifics. My main thing is just, let's just get more R2, you know? And then of course the third thing would be bring Luke back and in a way that, you know, we can actually get some, resolution and we can see the Luke that we really want to see in action, not just like one last hurrah, you know, like where we get that Grandmaster Luke.
Yeah. And I want to see a clean shaven C-3PO.
Of course, right? Priorities.
No beard.
Exactly. So let me ask, just as kind of as a rounding out kind of question then here to Michael, you said that the main thing you don't want to see, number one, is don't kill Lando. Uh-huh. Here's your choice. Lando's back and he dies, or Lando's not back at all. Which do you pick?
Honestly, I pick don't bring him back at all. Between the two, don't bring him back at all. I would rather, you know, my thing was, like, with Han, I liked what they did with Han because I felt like there was, you know, A, he was the only one who died. B, it was something that I knew was definitely on the table because, of course, you know, he had wanted the death since, what, like, at least 1983. So I knew it was on the table. And to the point of a lady just blabs it in the theater that Bruce and I were in when we were seeing the movie, yeah. which to start with, I kind of got mad, but then I was like, you know what? I don't know that she's saying that because she knows, or if she's saying that because that's just what everyone expects at this point.
Yeah,
because
Mike is like, wait, what did she, what? And I'm like, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Bruce thought I was like about to attack this lady. I was about to say something to her, but Bruce.
And this is the 7:00 screening on that premiere Thursday. You know, it's not like it's the weekend.
Anyway.
And this is back before he cut his hair, so you don't mess with a Wookiee. They'll pull people's arms out of their sockets.
It almost got pretty messy. But point being, and that was the thing too of what sort of, because like I said, Bruce sort of called me, and I was like, yeah, you're probably right, because I'm like, you know, nobody really knows. A lot of people expect it. Like I sort of expect it, and of course, like when he walked out on that catwalk, I'm like, well, there he goes, and I'm like, here it happens. He's dying, right? So I expected it, and then also I felt like it was sort of a good, it made sense as far as what they were doing with the story, and I was fine with it. But then, of course, like, they kill Luke, and that hurt because it's like, all right, Carrie Fisher's already gone, so that basically means our big three, they're gone. They're out, all of them. And so, yeah, I mean, like, at this point, I'm like, just stop it. Yeah, I would just rather you not bring them back if you're only just going to kill them off. Like,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather not have Lando than just, you know, abuse the character.
Right.
And you can do the passing of the torch without having to necessarily kill them off. I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, that's kind of what wound up happening in Legends. We kept expecting a big hurrah for the end of the adventures of the big three. And instead what we got was, oh yeah, it's New Jedi Order that's going to hand it off to the new generation. Nah, I think we're going to do that handoff in Legacy of the Force. Nah, in Fate of the Jedi. Nah, in Crucible. Oh, reboot. Wait, we didn't get a chance to really hand it off. But what you wound up with is just enough time passes between those stories and the next stories that it makes sense that they would be in the background, whether they have passed away in many cases, or they've retired or whatever, that they're not the spring, what do you call a Star Wars chicken? They're not the spring womp rats anymore, right?
That's so a really
it
weird.
Makes sense that, yeah, it makes sense that someone else would take the stage. And at this point, we've got we've had two movies now to try to pass the torch. We've passed the torch within the Solo family. We've now passed the torch from the Jedi side of things. I'm kind of hoping that with Episode 9, we get something, you know, bring Lando back, let us see him. Maybe not kill him off, though, not because you don't need to make that transition from one generation to another, but that he can kind of be the uncle kind of off to the side. I mean, he benefits from the fact that he wasn't one of the big three, and you can show that, you know, the heroic characters just take the forefront, not because you've just killed off Lando because you're having to kill off the entire previous generation, but instead that, hey, you know, they just happen to be the young ones and it's their fight now. You know, just do it as a natural generational thing. Because in real life, most of the time, the generational shifts, when you talk about people passing away in a previous generation to make room for the next generation, it's generally not a one generation thing. It's like the grandparents passing as the grandchildren come to the fore and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's
it
also
just doesn't feel
like
realistic when it's as forced as it has been.
Right. And the thing too, is that it's not always like, oh, the torch was passed because that person died. Like, that rarely happens. You know, typically it's more of a stepping down long before the passing of the individual. Yeah. So
especially if the person is like a mentor type figure, right? Mm-hmm. The mentor doesn't necessarily have to die. The mentor just has to be removed from the picture, unless you're specific to the hero's journey and you're doing some things with that, you know?
Do you know who's been removed from the picture though? That's our next news item. Is Battlefront 2, they removed the Emperor. So, you know, we're complaining about, you know, a character going in and dying. What if the character just appears in something and then he's just removed?
In the new special edition, there is no more. Well, I think it's going to depend on the character. There were probably going to be some fans who would say that Jar Jar being removed, meh. And I'm sure there are fans out there in a particular segment of fandom that would say, get rid of Rose and so on, you know. But yeah, Palpatine was, in Battlefront 2, Palpatine was always kind of a weird character to deal with because his abilities are so much different than everybody else's. And trying to find a way to sort of make him viable as the old man skittering across the battlefield, giving him the Force Lightning, and figuring out exactly how to make that work in a way that makes sense from a gameplay perspective and as much as possible from a universe perspective, it seems like every time they tried to tweak the balance, because of how they had to design the character in the first place, the balance tweaks just never quite worked the way they were supposed to. And they wound up nerfing him at one point, meaning reducing his killing ability, basically reducing his effectiveness, to try to make him in line with the other characters. And then they did some more tweaks that seemed to have maybe reversed some of that. And they finally got to the point where they're just like, we know we can fix him. We just don't think we have it right now. And instead of leaving him in the game and having it be completely unbalanced where anybody playing as Palpatine is going to be tearing through people like people playing as, fittingly, Lando back in the previous game for a while, we're just going to remove him completely. But that's still, I mean, it makes sense from a game perspective and for those kind of look at game patches and the goal of patching and ongoing support of games. But it is still a pretty unusual thing to see a character completely removed as an option for play.
Well, know? I have questions because, as we know, especially with the pay to play options, and even past that, the fact that this game has been more about like building up and customizing your character. So if I've been spending a lot of time, you know, a lot of game hours and or even money to build up Palpatine, and they're like, he's gone now. Like, how are they compensating those players?
I think Will Smith said it best. Well.
Yeah, I mean, that's... to me, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised this isn't a bigger outrage. You know what I mean? Like...
Well, we have, well, now that we announced it, it will be.
Right, right. I don't know.
But it's temporary. But, he's coming back. But yeah, but, you're right.
If but
you're
even playing, still, I mean, that's now. The thing. Like I said, if you put money on this, and I mean, I'm sure there's some people like, well, you know, who cares? Like, I mean, think about Justin Bolger, whose favorite character is Emperor Palpatine. You know, I should probably tweet him and be like, hey, were you playing this? Are you mad? Like, what's going on now as far as that situation? Because that's, to me, that's kind of crappy. I mean, like I said, when you have... to me, it's bad enough just with the time spent, because the thing is, like, they can compensate you for money. They can't compensate you for lost time. You know what I mean?
But if the character's not working, because his Sith lightning is shooting people through, walls.
But that's but here's the thing. That's like saying McDonald's hamburgers keep giving, you know, people food poisoning. So instead of compensating them and trying to get it right, they just stop serving hamburgers.
Yeah,
you
no,
know what I mean?
No, like, it's more like they've temporarily said we're not going to serve hamburgers this week because we're going to have to go through an entire new process of where we get the meat from to make sure it's not going to be tainted. Now it's back a week from now or a month from now or whatever. It's a temporary
Yeah, Palpatine
fix.
Is a product recall right now.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
But what I'm saying though is if people have spent money on that, if they spent time on that, and you're just taking it away and be like, it'll be back later, whatever. You know, that's...
I love the idea of lightning through walls. I mean, I actually think that's pretty cool.
Well, just give it... So compensate them. And we've talked on Cloud City Casino recently about how there are these new character skins that are now the... there's Epic and there's Legendary. And some of these character skins, there's no way I'm grinding, playing the same freaking level, the same maps, the same multiplayer matches over and over and over and over again to unlock some of these new looks. And if you want to spend real money on them, these are $20 character skins or $20 costume changes. So turn around and say, okay, well, you guys, have you ever wanted a version of Palpatine that looks like he was without the hood up and the cloak and everything in episode
or the Revenge
three?
Of the
Even
Sith
if you don't
version,
give him a lightsaber, you know, he looks like, you know, I am the Senate, and maybe give him an I am the Senate emote that he can
do
or
something.
That'd
actually be
really
sweet.
And make that something you give people free when he comes back to the game as compensation of thank you for being patient with us. And it's not unusual for a company to say, you know, we're going to do something to reward patience. I just recently, we've talked before about how I'm a huge fan of deck building games, and I backed a deck building games Kickstarter. Star Realms Frontiers, their newest expansion, was a Kickstarter. And it took a while for them to get everything right and get it through production and get it out to everyone. So when it showed up, you know, Kickstarter has all those stretch goals, those little exclusive things that come with it. They included some extra cards called, one's like benefits of patience or something like that, or patient support or something. But they basically gave specific cards with names based on the idea of thank you for your patience as a thank you for people waiting while they had to take extra time to make sure they got it right. And it wouldn't have cost much to them for that side of the production. It surely wouldn't cost that much to them relative to other parts of production to do something for Palpatine to give it back. And it just kind of earns a little bit of that goodwill because, you know, I think the immediate response is if they don't announce it at the beginning that, hey, it's going to be back and we're going to compensate you, it's going to be back and we'll give you something cool with it. As long as they don't announce that, there's no expectation. And all of a sudden, when you get it, it's a surprise. You know, it's cool. It's a nice benefit, as opposed to it being, and when he comes back, we'll be bringing you an extra character skin, and then the entitlement kicks in, and then if the new skin, which is free, isn't cool enough, people will gripe, and it will blow up in their faces. It's all a matter of how you package it.
No, but I disagree, because the thing is, by not getting ahead of it to start with, you give people to get upset. And like, you give them that ability to go, oh, okay, so you're taking, because that's my thinking. I'm like, okay, so someone spent $20 on this character, or they've put hours and hours of work into this character, and you're going to take it away from, you know, an undetermined amount of time, and you don't say anything about, like, hey, we're very sorry about this, we're going to make it up to you, or anything like that. Basically, right now, we don't see anything. Because that's the thing, is we're just speculating that, you know, that's mm-hmm. a possibility of giving a new skin or something like that. They may do nothing at all. And to me, the thing is, that's not the way to go. Because to me, it's like, I guess you could say, my entitlement's already there, that if you're going to take this away, you need to make up for it in some way. And by not announcing that, you can only assume that it's not coming.
So, but let's flip it around, because you've got players, like the players that are still playing Battlefront now are pretty much the players who are the diehard players, right? The players who, you know, were in it for the story or in it for... You know, like I was heavy into Battlefront 2 when it first came out, and now I'm like, whatever, I got too much else to play, I don't really care anymore, right? The people playing it now are some of the heavier, hardcore, ongoing, long-term players. Mm-hmm. So, the other option is you leave the character in the game, and you work on it through hot fixes as you go, which is what they're trying to do, is fix it with a hot fix, or a patch. They called it a hot fix, but I guess a patch, that would bring him back in and bring it back in fixed. And in one case, in the interim, it sucks for the Palpatine diehards, but it stops sucking for everybody who's getting trashed by a broken Palpatine. Mm-hmm. Or you basically tick off a small group and you save everybody else from weeks or months of constantly having unbalanced matches that could drive them out of playing the game at all, or at least some modes of the game. Like, I know people who have said, you know, because of what was happening with Palpatine... Before, you know, thank goodness they removed him. Now, granted, there's only a few people, because I barely know anybody who's still regularly playing the game. But in general, it was sort of a thank goodness they took care of this character, because I wasn't playing Heroes versus Villains anymore. I wasn't playing the new Hero Showdown anymore, because all you'd have to do was end up on the light side, and the other players got to choose Palpatine and somebody else, and you were dead, and it was over.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think that it's the... And I absolutely agree... that when it comes to the Palpatine players, it's going to stink, especially if they spent mm-hmm. money focusing on Palpatine. But for everybody else, which has got to be the bigger proportion of players, who may have been spending money on other things to go up against yeah. characters like Palpatine and are getting creamed because of a broken character, it's saving them from that for a while.
And I get it from that point of view, but I still say that, like, you're past that point. Like
the moment you have them spending money, or you let the problem go on long mm-hmm. enough that you have to remove him.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing.
They should have gotten ahead of this.
According to them, they did a patch that was supposedly fixed it, and they did another patch, and somehow it rebroke the character, and that's why they then removed him. So they were trying to fix it along the way anyway,
so,
and thought they had.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Do or do not. There is no try. Especially when money's on the line.
That's
you know
the
what I mean?
Side of the force there, son.
I'm just saying, at this point, I mean, look, I'm sorry, because where I will say, I know there's a lot of people who think Nate and I just dog the crap out of Battlefront, and we do, but we've also been very positive and supportive of the main campaign. I mean, we both really liked that.
Yeah. We try to be fair. You know,
exactly.
We mock
exactly.
because it's funny, but it's we try
right.
to be fairness.
Right. Yeah. It's always we always go for the laugh before anything else. But
I just have to apologize, because now you guys have nothing to talk about in Cloud City Casino.
That's all right. Knowing our schedules, it would have been a month before we recorded.
We were supposed to record the Taras Kazi thing a couple weeks ago. And
oh yeah, we were going to do a Taras Kazi. Yeah, we'll do that. So
I had an issue. Yeah. So
yeah. So
we
still
have content.
If we're doing a Taras Kazi episode, if only so that I can refer to the Tusken Raider character repeatedly and laugh at his name.
I'm like, Nate, you don't have to say his name every time. He's like, yeah, dude.
But it's funny.
Now all the stuff about new skin. Now I know why Mark Hamill shaved his beard, because they wanted a new skin.
A new character.
Yeah, EA asked them
for $20
for
the character skin.
EA says, you know what, you could really help us out a lot if we had a different look to go with, so that we've got a second skin. You know,
and look,
we can,
you actors owe us, because we gave you a campaign because of John Boyega. So
right,
come on.
Right.
There you go. Well, let's move to the next item real quick. So and this will be pretty brief because there isn't a whole lot to say, but congratulations to Star Wars Rebels. They got 3 Emmy nominations. First one, Outstanding Music Composition for a Series, Original Dramatic Score. So there's one. Number 2, Outstanding Children's Program. Number 3, Outstanding Sound Editing for a Comedy or Drama Series, Half Hour, and Animation. So congratulations to them. Yes.
Oh, and then you said 3?
3.
Oh, yeah. You forgot number 4, Best Usage of a Puffer Pig.
Ooh. If only. If
how
only.
About the most usage of wolves outside of Game of Thrones? Can
that there be is an true.
Award for that?
That's true. Well, the Emmy Awards are coming on September 17th, and you can see that in the States on NBC. So check that out. So good luck to Rebels. I say we move on to Boba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
So, Boba's Bounty, what has inspired or what has happened? Have you bought anything, whatever Star Wars related? I'm just going to go ahead and start up because I wasn't on last week's episode. Of course, Nate hasn't been on any episodes for a while, but I'm starting anyway. So, because I've been so excited to talk about, I bought Star Wars Lost Stars, the manga book, the manga volume 1 book. Ooh. And I loved it. I loved that book. The illustrations are just fantastic. They're beautiful. I loved the novel when I read it by Claudia Gray, and now to read again as a manga is really great. So that's my Boba's Bounty. I've been wanting to say that for 2 weeks because I just really loved it. I gave it 5 stars in Goodreads, and I have no idea when Volume 2 is coming out, but hopefully soon because I want to dig into that. So that's mine.
So are you a full-blown weeb now?
Yes.
Do you even know what that is?
No.
It's like a slang term for an American who is very into Japanese culture.
Well, that's my youngest daughter then, because She even had a birthday party that was all Japanese culture, and so she's big into that. So
very cool.
Actually, but it's not good. She's kind of backed away from that now that she's You know, she keeps growing into different things, so she's not as big into Japanese culture, and she's not as big into Star Wars, but I know she's afraid to tell me that. She's more into Shawn Mendes right now, and that's all she ever talks about is Shawn Mendes.
I don't even know what that means.
He's a singer.
Oh, okay. I don't listen to current music. I took
her
that
to the concert, his concert last summer. So
I mean, I guess I don't know if everyone's heard the story about how maybe a year or two ago that I found out about Adele for the first time, and I'm like, "Have you heard about Adele?" And my wife's like, "Yeah, like 5 years ago." And I'm like, "She's amazing." And she's like, "Yeah."
So, Michael, what's your Boba's Bounty? I guess it's not Adele, is it?
It is not Adele. It is not. So I had to go through eBay because the nearest Denny's is like 45
minutes. It's like a Norcross or something.
It's a ways away. Is it? I could have went and seen my buddy Sadiq then.
There's one on Jimmy Carter Boulevard.
Okay. Well, maybe I should have, because I should have went down there and saw Sadiq, who
by Apple Maps.
People may have known from
that's how I found it.
Some of our Patreon episodes, which is a buddy of mine. But anyhow, point being, I went through eBay because I saw it cheap enough, and I got the Lando Solo Cup from Denny's.
Awesome.
Yep. Wait, that's not a Solo Cup. Those are supposed to be red.
They're not always red. Sometimes they're blue.
This is so great. I mean, this episode is dedicated to Lando Calrissian, and yet your Boba's Bounty is still connected to Lando.
Well, I mean, that's just because I'm buying Lando stuff every week because I have a Lando focus. Even though I don't put all my... So a lot of people, when they do their focus, for instance, you know, good buddy Eric Pfeiffer, like, he has a room that's just Rey stuff, right? I don't do that because I feel like it's too much of a shrine. And it's like, I love Lando and Billy Dee and Donald Glover, but I don't want it to look like I, you know, worship them or anything. You know, I don't want it to look that way.
I'm surprised Eric had a room available to donate to Rey. I mean, isn't his whole house like already like packed to the gills with stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got rooms for everything. So he just, I guess he did a whole room for just Rey.
Wow.
I mean, I can see why you would want to have a whole room just for Ray. I mean, Jamie Foxx was brilliant.
Ray, no, with an E.
That, yeah, no. Not with an E, not an A. No.
Not that Ray? Okay, gotcha. You had to specify that's the E. It's the E. Like Gray and Gray. I never quite know which one to use.
So Jamie Foxx's Ray is your Boba's Bounty, Nate, right?
No, no. So you said something interesting or something we've done with Star Wars, something inspiring. My thing for this week has been through the sort of chaos and stress of the last week of a 6-week summer session of teaching online summer school to economic students and 6th grade students, mostly 6th grade repeaters, which is a very different group. It's been a very stressful summer, and I finally have gotten the time to start actually working on the final edition of my Star Wars Timeline Gold, because I decided that's going to end this year, right? I mean, you got the fandom toxicity stuff, the chronological and continuity stuff that's sometimes becoming an issue lately that's very frustrating, the way they're playing it kind of fast and loose. Those were kind of already pushing me in that direction, but then we found out a few months back, right? We're going to have a baby. So it's like we finally had this amazing thing that's about to happen that we've been wanting for years. And now we're going to have a child. And as such, part of it is sort of, well, how do I make sure that, you know, there's time for everything? And the timeline was always something that was a very big time sink that I couldn't really deal with much anyway. So I decided to end it this year. And after a couple weeks of feeling like I really was kind of spinning my wheels, not being able to get much done, I actually had a chance to get through a fairly giant chunk of stuff just in the last week or so. Quite a few episodes of Rebels I needed to get summarized. I finally got summarized. Went through and got several comics and some of the side books wrapped up. And went through the, I think it was 6-hour process of summarizing Last Shot for the timeline. Which may be the last adult novel that winds up on there. I don't know if Thrawn Alliances will arrive in time for me to read it and summarize it in time for a new edition. But for me, it was all about just kind of getting back into that first of my big fandom projects to put in some time with it for its ending, or to prepare it for its ending sometime later this month or next month. So, work, basically. My wife calls Star Wars my second job, and that definitely felt like it. But yeah,
that's what actually happened. Was she told him, she's like, all right, we're having a kid, you got to cut something. And he's like, that's fine. He's like, I'll stop doing Cloud City Casino. And she's like, no, Nate, it needs to be the timeline. He's like, fine.
But I don't like Michael anymore.
Exactly. How long have you been working on that timeline?
If it had continued until this October instead of this August, it would have been 21 years.
That is just crazy.
Yeah, I started it when I was a senior in high school. And that was actually the first public releases. And I was using a version just for myself for about a year, year and a half before that. I just never made it into a form that I would share with anybody. Of course, not like I was going to share it with anybody back then anyway. That was dial-up internet. I had the first times I had like a 4-page Microsoft Write file release of some of the early versions. I had to go to my dad's work because I couldn't send it from home. Our dial-up internet couldn't handle it. So,
wow.
Yeah, wow. Couldn't handle a 4-page write file. My, how times have changed.
Have you had people trying to say, hey, I'll take it over from here. I'll keep.
Actually,
keep
I it haven't
going.
Really. I've had people asking, hey, would you find somebody to do it? What it tends to come down to is finding someone who is kind of the same, of a similar mindset, but also that has the time and the interest in chronology to do it. And there are people out there who are big on in chronology. Who have the passion for it and the knowledge of it, but we're all kind of in a position where I'm like, there's no way that these people would be able to pick up where it goes from here because of just the sheer time necessary, the sheer workload necessary to keep it going. And it was sort of either I can either make a, it's kind of like it was with me, really. I can either make a clean break or I can just let it kind of fade and wither and die. And just 1 year, it doesn't come out when everybody expected it to. So instead, I went for the clean break, and I'm trying to point people basically, hey, you know, there are others who are trying to continue this type of thing just in different forms. So here's where you can find these. What's really getting me now is that people are coming to me and saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to find summaries of the books anymore. And I'm like, doesn't Wikipedia do that? And apparently most of the Wikipedia pages for recent stuff doesn't have summaries anymore. Like they,
well, what
like,
about,
used, like they used to do.
What about the Amazon listings? Do they not have those anymore?
Well, like full summaries. full summaries, not reviews ripping them to pieces, but actual full summaries.
No, I meant like in the descriptions. Don't they normally kind of give you an idea of what the?
Well, I mean, you can the read book... the Wikipedia has the blurbs and stuff off the book yeah. jackets and stuff like that. I'm talking about like the full blown, you know, full
yeah, not like the
summary
publisher summary, but the yeah. whole summary, the whole of the entire of the book.
Gotcha,
yeah.
gotcha.
Yeah.
So for and people it, who don't actually want to read the books, I know right. what's going on,
right? Here. Or the more but, obscure yeah. stories they can't get their hands on, which tended to be where that kind of led into. But yeah,
or people
it's
who don't
those...
want to read Lando books, they just read on Wikipedia.
What I want names. I'm going to do like the Jay and Silent Bob, start showing up to houses and be like, "Are you?" You know, this guy, fan 37, like, did you say that about Lando? No. But, you know, I totally get where you're coming from, Nate, because that is always a thing is all, you know, trusting that person to take that over. Because, I mean, think about with podcasting, how many people are like, yeah, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do it, you know, and then they get a couple episodes out or whatever. And then they just completely fall off the grid right. because they don't realize how much work, time, and commitment that goes into this stuff.
And it's nothing now, right? I mean, right. these days, I mean, Audacity, Skype, we're using Zoom. It's easier now. I mean, we're at the point now, I've been in podcasting, Star Wars podcasting specifically, since 2002. I mean, my first podcast was recorded with a thing called Total Recorder and edited in QuickTime Pro. I spent years using Wavelab. When I was doing interviews for Chrono Radio back in the day, you know, it was a long-distance calling card on my landline using a cordless phone that had a speakerphone built into the back of it that I stuck underneath my microphone so that people could hear the person I was interviewing. Whereas now it's, you know, jump on Skype and hit record, you know, or jump yeah. on Zoom and hit record. But yeah, people don't realize that even now there is still a much bigger time sink. It was much bigger before. But, mm-hmm. you know, you record, you know, it's always funny because Mark and I will sit down to record Star Wars Beyond the Films and we'll be like, okay, we're just going to make this like an hour episode, right? And invariably it winds up being two. And right now yeah. I'm the one that's editing them, except for adding the music and such. And I've had to sort of step back and be very basic in what I'm actually taking out and leave in the ums and things like that. Because it's still taking, I mean, the old rule of thumb was for every hour of recording, assume it's going to take two or three to edit that hour. No joke. There's just a lot more time that goes into it. But also, I think part of it these days is there's a pressure to keep content rolling fast, like weekly, bi-weekly, whatever. I mean, I remember when I was doing Chrono Radio, it was monthly, and at times it was, for a while there, it was bi-monthly, and other episodes when I happened to have the time, and that was fine. The demand, I don't want to say a sense of entitlement, but there is a sense of, you know, how we always want things now. You know, like, I want my food now. That's why fast food exists. I want this faster. I want this sooner. If you don't have that
faster, more intense,
content,
is that what you're saying?
Say what?
Faster, more intense?
Faster, more intense, exactly. That the demands of audiences and what audiences expect from a quality level and everything else have also grown over time, which I'm surprised we're still around, you know, given the fact that we keep, that Michael and I tend to record whenever.
No, yeah, like, but it's falling about monthly.
Yeah,
I mean, we turned it into a monthly show. Right.
By accident, it's monthly.
Well, right. I mean, we intended to be a weekly show, but, you know, it's just with trying to match our schedules and stuff. Like I said, we were trying to get ahead of it last time, and we're like, let's do a Teras Kazi episode. And then I had a friend passed away and everything and just got completely bogged down. And then it was, I'm like, oh, man, we were supposed to record, you know. Just stuff happens. So, you know,
yeah,
but I mean.
And Nate, don't give me the timeline gold to take over. Don't be like Riley after 7 years and just say, here, you do this.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though, is, I mean, you know, like I was talking about, everybody loves the idea of it and everything, but it's once you start doing it. That's why, like, you know, when my old co-host on Cloud City Casino, you know, when he just up and bailed on me, and then I had people who were like, oh, well, I could come on and be a host. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but, you know, like,
you
thankfully
put me
Nate
on,
stepped in.
You didn't
in.
Know who I was.
What are you talking about?
You didn't know who I was, and you put me on there. I mean, you barely knew me, right?
Well, we had been talking and then had an episode, and then I was like, okay, I think this guy works great and everything, and I, you know, knew it was happening. But once again, like I said.
And you got Riley's approval.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, you know what? I'm like... this guy will work. But once again, you know, jumping forward, and then my co-host bails on me, and then fortunately Nate steps in. So
yeah, but isn't Nate just like on temporarily right now? He's just filling in.
I think that was the plan at some point.
well, that's also why we stretch it out a month. You know, I can get more.
Keep stringing me along with it. Yeah.
Right. Well, he only has so many appearances that he signed up for, and I'm like, well, if I do them
well,
monthly,
we didn't tell you that we're kicking you off Cloud City Casino, and Nate and I are going to do it from now on together.
That's fine. You guys may actually be able to put out more regular shows than we've been able to. No.
But yeah, it's true though. I mean, this the amount of time spent, the time sink, and to some degree, the solitude, not solidarity, but solitude tends to be something that's issue. Like for me, one of the things, I mean, I could have ended the YouTube videos. You know, I could have stopped podcasting and focused on the timeline and such, but in at least in the timeline's case, I mean, it's a very solitary thing. You know, when I'm working on it, I'm sitting here at my desk, I'm facing the wall in the corner of the room essentially, and I'm working in sort of almost a trance, you know, focused entirely on that. And yeah, I'm being productive, and yeah, it's something that I do as a leisure thing, but I mean, this isn't me as a high school kid, you know, holed up in my room. This isn't me, you know, just after, you know, having graduated from college, where I'm kind of, you know, on my own, and like I can do whatever I want because, you know, I'm the only one here. You know, you're as you grow older, as you become an adult and start adulting, I guess, which I guess maybe happened at different times now. Just the level of responsibilities change, and you don't really want to be holed up working on this thing. You want the camaraderie, you want the friendship, you want other people in your household. You know, all the things that sort of define adult interpersonal relationships as opposed to the way that you got along with people in school where you see them every day. So I don't need to see you after hour. You know, I see you every day, you know, in this class or that class. You get to a point where the solitude feels heavier, I think, when you're working on a project, whether it's headphones on, editing a podcast, working on a timeline or whatever. And after a while, you have to kind of make a choice of whether that's what you want to be doing. And in this case, it was sort of there's all these different things that I'm doing. Which is it that I feel like should probably end at this point, from just in terms of freeing up more time, but also which one is it that I'm not having the fun with anymore and that feels more of a weight? I mean, they're all sort of a form of work, but it's work as play or play as work because it's a hobby. But there are times when certain things start feeling more like work than they feel like play, and the timeline was starting to lean that direction. Sometimes editing podcasts leans in that direction. So I could see a lot of people just, you know, dropping out of it, but I think part of it is doing kind of like what I did. You know, eventually you have to get to points where, okay, this is a time I need to reevaluate and, you know, go with whatever I think is actually going to work for me, not what people necessarily expect. I've learned from just over time, seeing particularly with a lot of the students that I've dealt with, we still, young or old, we still have a tendency to put other people's needs ahead of ours, which is almost always a good thing, until you realize that trying to meet expectations of, say, in this case, other fans and things like that is harming your own mental health. Eventually, you have to take care of yourself.
I totally get that. It's tough, and like you said, it's, you know, when you have a family and you got new responsibilities and something you started when you're younger, it was a different time of your life. You know, it's.
I've been driving for like a year and a half, or maybe 2 years. I was driving for a year at that point, I think. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it just needed to kind of to wrap up. But it means more time to podcast, right?
Exactly.
And eventually, I'm sure that you'll be hearing little Cade cameos, not Kate Skywalker, but Cade Butler cameos in the background, where I'm talking about something Star Wars, and you hear something like Lando from the back, and that'll be great, right?
That'd be great.
Our own little Padawan perspective a little bit.
Well, as we're closing out tonight's show, where, if people want to see the Timeline Gold and follow you online, where can they do that?
Sure. Well, the Timeline, Star Wars Timeline Gold, is at StarWarsFanWorks.com/timeline. You can hear me with Mark Herleman talking about books and comics and so forth on Star Wars Beyond the Films. Recently talking a lot about fandom toxicity. But that is hosted, of course, alongside Star Wars Report and Cloud City Casino on StarWarsReport.com. My YouTube channel, youtube.com/chronoradio. That's where you find stuff like From the Star Wars Home Video Library and my blog, The Voice of Reason or Lack Thereof, which tends to focus on Star Wars stuff. My Patreon is patreon.com/NathanPButler with some exclusive content like Clone Wars commentaries you can get there. And my book, A Saga on Home Video, A Fan's Guide to U.S. Star Wars Home Video Releases, is available now. Pretty much anywhere can order it, but Amazon is the easiest place to get your hands on it. And all of those things, if you just search the names of them, pretty much, will tend to lead you to me on Facebook.
Cool. Are we going to see a Dragon Con?
I don't know. That is more than likely, that is when we will be welcoming baby Cade into the world.
Oh, that's
true. Very close
yeah,
around
yeah.
that time, yes. So probably not a Dragon Con thing this year.
Yes. I know Michael will be there.
There needs
I
to
will
be, a,
be there.
So many of us are in Georgia, there needs to be like a Star Wars Report con at some point, but nobody's ever actually done it. And I think it's all because Mark would kill us because he's halfway. Well, he's entirely across the country.
We'll just do it when he's camping. He won't know.
There you go. There you go. What'd you guys do this weekend? Nothing. Everybody keeps saying that.
He's like, it's so weird. I keep seeing pictures. It looks like you guys were all hanging out, but...
Nah, it's Photoshop.
Yeah, you tell me. Yeah, it's all
Photoshop. You know how the internet is. It exaggerates everything.
You can't believe anything.
So, Michael, where can people find you?
So, like Nate said, over on Cloud City Casino, which is, you know, with Star Wars Report. And also just on Twitter and Facebook at Morris Isley. I'm sorry, not Facebook. Instagram.
Otter. Yes, yes. And you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex, and you can find me on the Trek FM network doing Literary Treks. It's kind of like Star Wars Beyond the Films, but Star Trek Beyond the Films.
Oh my god, so it's twice as boring.
Yeah, exactly. Jerk.
Uh-huh. Look, I got you both on here, so I can take shots at both of you now.
It's the, it really it's is feeling greatest. Like a Cloud City Casino reunion.
It is, yeah. Now I know why I'm not doing that anymore.
Go wash your cape, buddy. Just go wash your cape.
There we go.
There's oh, Lord, cape. He had it on the back of his chair.
It's always around. Always around. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Why do they keep dying?
Because we keep killing them.
But why? I feel like that's not how you podcast.
We're going to keep killing them until they actually show up in a movie.
I don't know, man. That seems counterintuitive. I mean, it's like, we're going to keep killing the buffalo until they show up. Like, what?
Wait. We're not killing the Bothans for stir fry?
Ooh.
Oh, I think I've been doing it wrong.
I think we're all doing it wrong. I don't think Bothans need to die for any of these things. That's what Audacity and Audition are for, right?
I'm craving stir fry.
Maybe that's every time Nate's Skype would go out. That was a Bothan 9.
Ooh, that's a lot of Bothan stuff.
Well, I mean, he said many, so that's the only thing I can figure.
I want to see a clean-shaven Bothan.
Yeah, but then you see you'd have to have a regular Bothan and then CGI him into a clean-shaven Bothan.
Star Tours. Bye-bye.